Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition. It's Wednesday, the 8th of May, 2013. We are live. We're here during the noon hour each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show live on my website, buckmastershow.com, and on the station's website, kvoi.com, and we podcast the program, so it makes it very easy for you to hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com also have the program available, and we have links on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and on the homepage of blogforarizona.com. First up to the plate this afternoon, our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. 30 minutes past the hour, we will have a preview of the Tucson summer air travel season, which will be getting underway here very soon, the Memorial Day weekend just around the corner. Then we'll close out the show with our contributor on education talking about a cheating scandal that has really rocked the education world. If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line is now declared officially open at 790-2040, and we are also monitoring the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is under Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Let's get underway with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine. She's the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, which is based at the University of Arizona. She is a professor of medicine, family and community medicine, and public health at the U of A, in addition to facilitating the growth of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She has developed curriculum for the center and is a pioneer in multiple education innovations, including the creation of a national model that really puts integrative medicine into the curriculum and makes it really a part of what the future primary care physicians in this country are learning. She is the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. Her new book, which is doing very well and is available on Amazon, is called Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Have you had your cup of coffee?
I did, and I know lots of people feel tremendous guilt when they admit that to a doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm here to talk about some of the health benefits of coffee.
Well, when we posted a little preview on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page talking about that you would be discussing coffee, several of our Facebook friends said, forget it. I don't care what Dr. Mazes says. If there's something negative about coffee, I don't want to hear it. I'm into coffee. I'm not going to get rid of my coffee. Okay, the good stuff about coffee,
well,
and caffeine.
We are into coffee as a country. I mean, on average, people drink 2 cups of coffee a day. But let me say, for those listeners who were worried, coffee reduces our overall mortality by about 10%.
How do you beat that? That's the headline out of the day right there. I want to live longer? Drink a little coffee.
Right.
Why in the world would that be?
Well, probably because it overall has a beneficial effect on a wide range of things that unfortunately could kill us. So, for example, it reduces the risk that we get diabetes. Those people who have diabetes are at increased risk of heart attack, of stroke, of complications of diabetes that can increase their risk of dying at a younger age. It reduces our risk of a fair number of types of cancer, which obviously is the second leading cause of death in this country. So it turns out that coffee overall has more benefit than risk to our health.
How about the risks? What's the downside?
Well, I think the downside falls into a few different categories. One is coffee has an alerting function. Now, that's obviously a benefit. And in fact, when people who drive long distance used coffee as a stimulant, they were less likely to have an accident. Another benefit. But that stimulating effect can be left over when we're trying to go to sleep. So the half-life of coffee is about 4 hours. That means it takes close to 4 hours for half of it to be gone from your system. And so if you're drinking coffee in the afternoon, it may interfere with getting a good night's sleep. And as we know, sleeping and sleeping well, 7, 8, 9 hours, depending on your personal needs, has an overall health benefit as well.
What is the compound mm-hmm. of caffeine? It is obviously a stimulant.
Yes,
it is.
It's a
stimulant. And as you were talking about, the alertness factor. I mean, we drink coffee if we want to stay awake, if you're driving long distance or whatever. But are there damaging effects of too much caffeine in your system?
Yes, so you're right. Caffeine works by blocking receptors for adenosine, which is a compound in the brain that can make you feel sleepy. There's 4 different adenosines, and they have different actions, so it's a bit more complex than that. But remember that coffee consists of many, many different compounds, not just caffeine. And so the jury is actually still out in terms of the various beneficial effects. They're not all attributable to the caffeine. Some of them have to do with the other antioxidants that are in coffee. And some of the riskier parts, for people who are sensitive, even 1 cup of coffee could make you jittery, nervous, anxious. And some people are uniquely sensitive. Other people are not sensitive at all. I certainly go out to dinner with people at times who have a cup of coffee after dinner.
That's what I was going to say. I'm always amazed. Out to dinner with friends, there's always the person that will say, yeah, I'll take some coffee. And the waiter that will say, well, do you want decaf? Oh, and the person will say, absolutely not. And I want it black. And I'm
right.
Going, how in the world is this person going to get a night's
right.
sleep? I mean,
so clearly some people have very little sensitivity to that alerting aspect.
Yeah.
But for those people who are sensitive, you're going to want to stop drinking coffee early in the day, and you're going to want to limit it to a reasonable amount. Reasonable is probably less than 4 cups. Coffee can be brewed stronger or weaker, as we all know. And depending on how we brew it, whether we have a drip, those filters can absorb some of the chlorogenic acid that's in it. And you know, how we prepare it is going to depend on how much caffeine overall is in it. So that's something to be aware of. But remember, it's not just the caffeine that is responsible for the overall health benefiting impact of coffee.
Okay, what about decaffeinated coffee? If you do the decaffeinated coffee, are you losing the benefits of caffeine?
Well, you are losing some. So the chlorogenic acid, you're probably losing. You may be losing some other properties as well. Decaf has some caffeine in it, much less than caffeinated. You probably are losing some of the benefits. On the other hand, Wrigley's just put out a gum, Alert Energy Caffeine Gum. Mm. And you're probably not getting all of the benefits that you would get in coffee from a caffeine gum. There's caffeine in lots of things these days. So Cracker Jacks has a product that has caffeine. They put caffeine in jelly beans. I mean, it's everywhere.
And I don't know if they put it in kids' drinks.
Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics is very worried about that and highly recommends that caffeine not be included in the kind of sports drinks and that replace, you know, the electrolytes or energy drinks for children. It's recommended that not be used in that population, which of course doesn't mean that no kids use that, but the American Academy of Pediatrics says not wise in that population.
12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us, 790-2040. We're going to switch topics after the break, but we will be delighted to entertain whatever health questions you might have at 790-2040. Let's take the break right here. We will be back with Dr. Mazes in a couple of minutes after we hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
You know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you out.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Twelve nineteen now on the Buckmaster Show. Victoria Mazes, Dr. Mazes, is with us. She's the Executive Director for the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, and she is kind enough to come in and join us every month here on the Buckmaster Show. And I was mentioning to Dr. Mazes before we went on the air that I have decided to lose a few pounds, like many, many people. And I have decided to sacrifice one of my favorite things, baked goods.
Yes.
And and perhaps the sugar that goes along with it. But maybe it's not so much about sugar as it could be about gluten.
Yes. So I have found it very striking in my clinical practice what a difference it makes when people go off of gluten, which essentially means wheat and barley, some of the other grains, not all, quinoa's fine. It's not that they can't have any of them, but rice is fine, millet's fine. Pasta's okay if you get a rice pasta. Most pasta's made from semolina, which is durum wheat. But what I have found is that people not only lose weight, and that could be partly because they're reducing their simple carbohydrates, the things that bump your blood sugar and are then followed by a bump in insulin, but that there may just be this additional way in which the body's reacting, maybe in a pro-inflammatory direction, and it is causing people to gain weight and maintain weight. And when they go off, suddenly things change.
Well, I will tell you, in the 10 or 11 days since I have started this diet, I seem to have more energy. And I was attributing that to the fact that I was eating a lot less sugar. I've probably reduced my sugar by, I don't know, maybe 90%, but maybe it is the gluten.
It's possible. So gluten enteropathy, which is the autoimmune disease, also known as celiac disease, is relatively rare, maybe 1-2% of the population. But it appears that a much larger percent may have what we call non-celiac gluten intolerance or just wheat intolerance. And when we have people go on elimination diets where they stop eating all wheat and wheat-based products, and you have to be a bit of a sleuth because sometimes gluten can show up in funny places, gravy where you use flour to thicken it, or salad dressing sometimes, soy sauce. It can be in a lot of different places. And so if you want to try this in your own life, Google gluten-free diet and you'll come up with lists, and it'll help you tremendously in terms of the various things that you have to avoid. But what's been found is that when people who do not have celiac disease but think they're sensitive go off, they actually feel better. They have less GI distress. That could be diarrhea. It could be constipation. They have less fatigue. We all want more energy. If our energy is bound up with this food intolerance and we can get rid of that, how wonderful to feel more energetic. Skin conditions can clear up. So it can be a wide range of symptoms that actually improve when people go off of gluten.
Coming up now, we are now at 12:22. We are with Dr. Victoria Mazes, who is the Executive Director for the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes, slip your headset on there, and I'll lower your headset level a little bit so you'll be able to hear from Robert, who is on the Buckmaster Show Lifeline. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Doctor. Have you read the book Wheat Belly?
I have read the book Wheat Belly. It was written by a cardiologist, Dr. Davis, and I think it's a very interesting book. In it, he discusses, as I just have, the number of patients in his cardiology practice who he found, when they did indeed go off gluten, lowered their blood pressure, had a healthier overall status, lost weight. And he writes about a phenomenon where he believes that the gluten actually has a very specific effect on the neurotransmitters. Now, I don't know that there's a lot of evidence about that, but it's intriguing. And often people describe when they go off gluten that when they first go off, they really crave it. It's hard. And then after a while, they just feel tremendously better unless they are exposed again to gluten. So it's an intriguing book that I think is well worth reading. Some of the parts, I think, deserve a little bit more research.
So the title of the book, Wheat Belly, are we referring to, I've got a little there myself, the little spare tire that men and some women too tend to develop? Could that be gluten? By dropping gluten, maybe that would help to get rid
of some exactly of that. That's exactly Dr. Davis's point, that he saw both in himself and in his patients that the wheat belly, as he called it, went away when people went off gluten. Now, he recommends that people don't just substitute another simple carbohydrate. So in the stores, there's a lot of gluten-free products, breads and pastries and cereals, and these are often made of other simple carbohydrates that are going to cause a bump in blood sugar and a bump in insulin. And it's not going to be very easy to lose weight if you just quickly substitute those other simple carbohydrates. So he's really asking in Wheat Belly that people go off of white breads and whole wheat breads, that they pretty much go off of bread, that they eat things that are whole grain, slowly digesting, and that contributes as well to his patient's ability to lose weight and maintain that weight loss.
Okay, and I'm going to go back to Robert. He did not finish his question for you, so go ahead, Robert.
Dr., more specifically, the book accuses the wheat manufacturers of manipulating it so you'll be addicted to it, much like the cigarette people did to nicotine.
Interesting.
Well, I think this is a very interesting question. I don't know whether the wheat companies have done that. He traces the evolution of wheat from much earlier primitive forms, first discovered and used in Egypt. That's an interesting question about whether there's an intentional manipulation. That could be. We have seen many foods that are altered in ways that do support a kind of craving and overeating, but I don't know that to be a fact.
Caller who did not want to go on the air, Dr. Mazes, do you think the gluten-free craze that is sweeping the nation is a fad, or is it a sign of poor dietary habits that Americans have formed?
Well, I don't know that it's either. It's really a bit of a mystery why so many people are intolerant to this food, wheat, you know, this protein that's been so important to human health and, you know, in agricultural societies. This is what people ate. And so whether it's the highly processed and refined flour, remember, if you were grinding your flour with a mortar and pestle, you really couldn't make the kind of super fine flour that we can now make in modern industrial society, whether it's that it's appearing broadly in all kinds of foods, or whether it's something else that increases the risk of us being sensitive to a food that's been part of human evolution for thousands of years. So there is some mystery here that is not well understood.
And this is a good question, too, from another caller. A lot of people seem to be jumping on the bandwagon, not getting tested. Instead, they just believe they are gluten intolerant. So the question for you, Dr. Mazes, is there a medical test that can determine if you are sensitive to gluten?
So there is a test to see if you have celiac disease. The way it used to be tested is with a biopsy at the time of colonoscopy. That's obviously a very invasive way to test. But now we actually have very accurate blood tests. However, they only test for celiac disease. And so all of the other people who have this milder form of wheat intolerance, as opposed to a true autoimmune disease, will not show up positive. And what they have to do is eliminate wheat completely from the diet in all the places that it can manifest. And that's why you have to be a bit of a detective. Luckily, it's easier these days. Restaurants serve gluten-free. There are gluten-free products in stores. But you have to do an elimination diet and notice whether you lose weight, have more energy, have less reflux, have less constipation, have less symptoms of any kind that you may have noticed in your own life. And then if you want to be a true scientist, you can retest. So 4 weeks in, you could put some wheat back in your diet and see how you feel. Many people feel so much better, that's the last thing they want to do.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes' new book is Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. The book is getting excellent reviews, and it's doing very well on Amazon.com. That's probably the best place to go, right, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, and by the way, about 4% of unexplained infertility is due to wheat intolerance and celiac disease.
Okay, good to know. We'll see you next month. Thank you.
A pleasure.
All right, we'll talk about summer air travel. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Jurors in Arizona have reached a verdict in the trial of Jodi Arias, accused of murdering her one-time boyfriend. She's charged with first-degree murder in the June 2008 killing of Travis Alexander in his suburban Phoenix home. A second woman rescued after being held captive for a decade in Ohio is now at home with her family. Gina DeJesus, who disappeared in 2004, arrived home today as a crowd chanted her name. Earlier today, Amanda Berry arrived at her sister's home. Diplomat Stephen Hicks says his jaw dropped when he heard how U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice was describing the deadly assault on the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi, Libya, in the days after the attack. Hicks testifying today at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The Dow is up about 38 points. More details at srnnews.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. It's 12:35. A lot of excitement out at Tucson International Airport. Construction began this week on solar canopies that are going to be over the daily parking lot, and I think this will be a very welcome addition to travelers who don't really relish getting into a very, very hot car in the middle of summer. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show, Richard Grunzel. Dick is the Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority. Dick, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
That's exciting. I mean, this solar thing looks like it could really be a big benefit to people either coming to the airport to see folks off or leaving their car there for a while.
Yeah, it's a really exciting project. The initial phase, which you mentioned we kicked off yesterday, is going to cover a large portion of the daily lot, and we're planning on additional phases in the future, which will eventually cover the entire parking lot in front of the airport, both the short-term area as well as the long-term area. And that's the best thing about it, is besides the green energy and the electricity savings we're going to have from this project, it's also going to offer that great benefit of having covered parking in that front area, which is really going to be a nice benefit for everyone.
So there's a 1 megawatt of power annually. That's quite a bit to your central plant at the airport.
It is. And, you know, we based on preliminary estimates, we think that's going to save us somewhere in the range of $125,000 to $150,000 a year in energy costs for our terminal complex. You know, eventually, when the future phases are completed, we're hoping that it's going to supply up to about half of the power that we need for our terminal complex.
And people can follow the construction progress at flytucson.com. That's going to be the kind of the new website, right?
That's correct.
Right now it's flytucsonairport.com, but it's going to make it even easier next week with flytucson.com. Leaner airlines, meaner routes, perfect timing for our interview with you today, Dick. Marketplace section of the Wall Street Journal talking about an MIT study that was done showing that basically since 2007, U.S. airlines have cut the number of scheduled domestic flights by 14%, and the seat offerings have fell also, but not as much. And the reason not as much is because the airlines have put passengers on bigger planes. This is something you know very intimately. This should come as no surprise to you, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we've been seeing here in Tucson, unfortunately. With the airline mergers and the continuing high cost of fuel, and really just the renewed emphasis on profitability of all of the airlines and them raising ticket prices, which kind of creates a vicious circle. I mean, they raise fares, and that reduces demand itself. It's really been a difficult environment, in particular for smaller to mid-sized airports like us.
Traffic for the fiscal year is down 7.5%, and some airports are seeing a lot more than that. So I guess we're lucky. Fortunate. It's only 7.5%.
Well, I hesitate to to look at those numbers and say we're lucky, but it is. Yeah, I mean, we're certainly not alone in this. When you have airlines like Frontier who basically are kind of trying to reinvent their whole company, they just pulled out of Tucson last year out of the Denver market. And at the same time, you have airlines where if you're not filling, at least 80 to 85% of the seats, they just look at that and say, you know, we've got other places that we need to put that plane to try and make more money. And that's exactly the situation we're in here.
And that Wall Street Journal article said that the cuts are affecting, and they list the airports, many mid-sized airports like Tucson. And it says in the article, some are offering financial incentives. And we've talked about this before, that financial incentives are being offered to airlines to try to keep service levels up.
Yes. And the airport itself here, TAA, has implemented an incentive program back about a year and a half ago, which offers fee waivers as well as marketing support. Unfortunately, that hasn't been quite enough at this point to entice any airlines to add any new service. But a lot of communities, in addition to what the airport can offer, have put together some private sector incentive programs, which can offer a lot more flexibility, because as an airport, we're subject to a lot of rules and restrictions from the FAA. So to the extent that communities are able to put together private sector programs that can be a little more lucrative and a little more selective to entice exactly the type of service they want, that's something we've definitely been exploring here in Tucson, and hopefully we can get something like that going here in the near future.
Dick Grunzel is with us from Tucson Airport Authority. He is the chief financial officer. We always like to say here that the decision makers, the movers and shakers in our community, listen to the Buckmaster Show, and one of them is on the phone and has a question. It's a pretty good question. This is from Councilman Paul Cunningham. It's about future with U.S. Air. Go ahead, Councilman Cunningham.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Doing real well. Thank you.
Listen, I really appreciate the efforts the TAA is making, and we've been a victim of some serious circumstance. But one of the things I'm looking at is I'm wondering how much it affected when we opened up so many flights to Phoenix. Right now we're at 14 routes, I believe, to Phoenix a day. And basically, you can either choose to fly through Phoenix or you can drive to Phoenix and fly out of Phoenix. I think that's probably one of the biggest hindrances on our airport. We've allowed U.S. Airways to basically corner the market on flights to us, and I wanted to know how that's affected us.
Well, certainly, we have been working with U.S. Airways to try and diversify, routes to some of their other hub airports, like Charlotte, Philadelphia, rather than pushing everything through Phoenix. But there are a lot of other opportunities, besides U.S. Airways to take flights both west and east, through places like Dallas, Denver, Houston. So there are a lot of other opportunities. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens when American and U.S. Airways merge. There's been a lot of speculation, as to what that might mean for Phoenix. And, it's just one of those things that we're going to have to see how that all works out. But, we would prefer to have, more options from U.S. Airways going to some of their other hub locations.
Yeah, that is going to be so important to see what happens. And we probably won't know, Dick Grunzel, until the third quarter or so about how the merger is going. Is that kind of what you're hearing?
Well, what they're saying
with American Airlines.
Yeah, what they're saying right now is they expect to, officially close the merger in the third quarter. And I would expect it's still going to be even beyond that, probably, 6 months to a year before we really find out what exactly their plans are going to be for really all the airports throughout the country.
And Councilman Cunningham brings up a point that we have talked about so many times. I always advocate for people to use the local airport. This is really fundamental to our economy, because when you're using the local airport, you are supporting people who live in Tucson, Arizona, rather than driving up to Phoenix. And the cost savings, if there is cost savings, in the long run is negligible, I contend.
I agree with you. By the time you add in the gas and the higher parking that we find in Phoenix, unless there's a significant fare difference, Tucson is generally going to come out better. And actually, from a convenience standpoint, there are a lot of cases that we hear about where, actually taking that additional leg from Tucson to Phoenix and then flying on to your final destination, the fare is actually cheaper than booking the flight from Phoenix to that same destination.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how all that works, but I have seen that from personal experience that if you do connect, say, on the U.S. Air out of Phoenix, it is a cheaper fare than if you were to fly from the point to point from Phoenix.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know why they do. Maybe it's just to get the business, the add-on business.
Yeah, and I would also make the argument that it's just much more convenient as well. I mean, I would rather take that flight from Tucson rather than to have that maddening drive on I-10, you know, both ways, especially on the way home. I mean, who wants to get off a plane, you know, at night and then be facing that drive home at night?
You know, these things are cyclical, and Southwest Airlines has adjusted their schedule. We can hope that they, you know, they've cut back a little bit on L.A. and they dropped Albuquerque, but very cyclical. We'll see if we can try to get them back.
Absolutely. And, you know, we are working harder than ever to try and add additional air service. I mean, we meet with our airline route planners on a regular basis. I mean, every month we're meeting them either at their headquarters or at conferences that are set up to talk with the route planners. We're working very hard, you know, some specific things, you know, specifically Mexico, you know, we've been working also very hard on. We're really optimistic that we're going to be able to do something there pretty soon.
Yeah, that's a point that I wanted to get to. Caller Terry, who we did not have time to get on the air, but his question is international flights to Mexico. The upside potential for that, whether it be the Guaymas area or even Rocky Point, there's potential certainly south of the border.
Absolutely. I think, you know, probably the two that we definitely see with the greatest demand, Hermosillo and Guaymas. So I think those, if we're successful, would be two very likely destinations. But the amount of support that we've gotten both from our business community here in Tucson as well as government officials and business leaders in Mexico has been really critical in our efforts so far to reinstate service to Mexico.
Okay, Dick Grunzel with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to wrap it up. And again, the website, there's a changeover happening right now with the website, but the one to remember is very simple, flytucson.com. All sorts of very good information. Dick, thank you very much. Hope you have a very good day. Thanks,
all right,
Dick.
Thanks, Bill. You
okay.
Too.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're?
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're?
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival, Memorial Day weekend, May 24th through the 26th in Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. I had someone ask me yesterday, well, who are some of the featured performers this year? Maria Muldaur will be at the festival this year, along with Mississippi Heat and Tommy Castro and the Painkillers at the Blues Festival over Memorial Day. Many places to stay, fine places, including Pinos Altos Cabins, Wilderness Lodge, and Little Toad Creek Inn. You can get more information at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, a cheating scandal has really rocked the education world. If you hadn't heard about this, criminal indictment of 35 Atlanta, Georgia school officials and teachers. It is the nation's biggest test cheating scandal. We're going to find out a little bit more about it and what are the implications from our Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, where he was named Arizona's top school superintendent. Bob, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill.
And Bob, what about this cheating scandal? It really is kind of unprecedented in the size of it, but I think it really opens up some serious questions, doesn't it?
It does, and we've seen these allegations not only in Atlanta, but we've seen them in other major cities, and also ripples of it even hit Tucson not too many years ago in one of the local districts. So there's some big issues out here that are part of that whole frenzy of testing our young people.
Well, as you say, Atlanta not unique. There have been allegations of cheating recently in Philadelphia, the nation's capital, Washington, Baltimore, El Paso, and so on and on it goes. And is this a result of this kind of, some might call it fanatical push to improve test scores?
Well, I think it is, and I think if you combine that, Bill, with this, what's become a very complex network of incentives for teachers and administrators to perform, for their students to perform well on these tests, and, you know, including financial incentives, there's, I think, a temptation out there to possibly push the envelope a little bit and improve your score so that you can line your own pocketbook. But then again, the other disincentive is that if school districts and schools do not perform well, there are punitive consequences. Teachers, administrators can and have lost their jobs.
So really there is this, as some would say, very inflexible benchmarks for this testing, and as you say, attaching then the financial incentives, not only for administrators, but for teachers to report on annual progress. So you really have, it's setting yourself up here. You don't want to fail, so maybe you'll do almost anything to show your scores are going up for a financial incentive.
Well, that's correct, and I think there are all forms of cheating that have been discovered, and if we use Atlanta as example, what teachers were doing is they were coaching children before and during the exams. And so it wasn't just a matter of providing answers in advance or some of the more conventional ways of cheating. There was a clear purpose in mind in trying to do things that strategically that would improve student scores. And of course, ultimately, who loses is the students, because we have a false sense of confidence that they have improved, and we perhaps move them on to another grade level or into a more advanced section, and the school looks good, the classroom looks good, but the children, in my opinion, are the losers.
And Arizona will be dropping the Ames testing here and in favor of another test. So it's are we trading one performance test in for another here? I mean, are things going to get better in that area, in your opinion?
Well, we are trading, and you know whether it will get better or not is, you know, remains to be seen. But and there's certainly. There's certainly necessity for some testing, and certainly with our emphasis on standards, we need to have benchmarks that that measure student progress. But the reality, Bill, is that you know, testing companies design tests that are efficient and that can be scored quite easily, and politicians, who basically are those legislative bodies who demand the testing be given, want a test that's simple and efficient. And when you design a simple and efficient test, what you get are responses that basically recall. You're not going to get higher-level thinking. You're not going to get too much in the way of more sophisticated problem solving, because then the tests become too complex, too complicated, and too expensive to score. And so we want something simple, we want something efficient, we want to be able to say at the end of the day, our students are improving. But the test really, or any test, is really only part of the picture. And so I guess the question really is, are we putting too much emphasis on tests?
Robert Hendricks is with us. Dr. Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He is our contributor on education. Some quick thoughts, Bob, about the ratings that came out. We saw again Basis School, one of the top in the country. TUSD scored very well with one of their schools, the University Magnet School. Any thoughts on the ratings, Bob?
Well, I think the ratings are certainly an indicator of the combination of the student population that they're serving. You know, I don't want to take away from their remarkable success, because I think they do a really good job. But let's understand that the population that they're serving is not, you know, on the average a population that typifies the general student environment.
Dr. Robert Hendricks with us on the Buckmaster Show, and some final thoughts on the Atlanta cheating scandal. I guess this is, I hope it's something that we just don't have to become very accustomed to, but it seems to be a trend, doesn't it, across the country?
It does, and you know what I find ironic is that in the information age that we live in, we want students to know how to use information, and in fact, we all access technology to come up with the best information. And for us to bank success on tests that require memorization really seems to fly in the face of what we expect in practice today. And so I think we really need to take a hard look at testing and say it's an important segment or a measurement of student progress.
All right.
It certainly isn't everything.
Robert Hendricks, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a bottle of Culligan, and everybody likes it. And why wouldn't they? It simply tastes better. I'm Bill Buckmaster wishing you a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.